Well, hey, Bridgeway, welcome to Church Online, Church at Home. I want to thank you for tuning in. If you're new or visiting with us, you saw a link and you decided to click on it, we couldn't be more grateful that you chose to tune in today, especially on this Memorial Day weekend. I hope that this weekend is just filled with a time of reflection and blessing for you. We want to honor and give thanks for the privilege that we have to live where we live in this country. And we want to honor those who have died serving our country. And we're so grateful for the sacrifice that was made for our nation. I thought it was fitting this weekend, thinking about our nation, thinking about Memorial Day weekend, that we would continue on in our series on prayer. We've been talking for the last several weeks about prayer, how we can trust God in a hurting world with people who are hurting all around us. And I want to ask you a question to get us thinking this morning, because I want to talk about a particular area of prayer. Just maybe to kind of get a sense of where you're at, maybe a little bit of a pulse on the topic of prayer, I want to ask for a little audience participation. Can you do that for me? Maybe you're watching this in your living room right now. Maybe you're in your kitchen watching this on your mobile device. But I want to ask for a little audience participation. How many of you, by a show of hands, would just be honest in saying this? Would say, I believe in the power of prayer. Raise your hand high. I believe in the power of prayer. All right, now for the second question. How many of you would say that, you know, I believe in the power of prayer, but Pastor, if I'm honest, if I'm truthful with you, I don't pray as much as I should. In fact, I wish I prayed more. How many, by a show of hands, could say, I wish I prayed more? I genuinely believe that most people, most Christians, believe in the power of prayer and they want to pray more. But for whatever reason, when it comes time to pray, it becomes a struggle for them. They have great intentions. Maybe you're like this. You know you should pray. You've got a long list of things that need prayer, that need God to intervene on. And then you sit down to pray, and then for some reason, it doesn't happen. Maybe for you, you pray, and prayer time leads to nap time, right? Like you pray, and you just get sleepy. Dear God, oh, I'm so grateful for a time to connect with you, and I'm so grateful for my pillow and this comfortable bed, and you are out like a light. Or maybe you pray and you just get distracted, or you get bored and you're praying, and literally you're praying something like this, like, God, I need a miracle, I need a miracle, I need a miracle. And then just this thought pops in your head, I wonder if there's Miracle Whip in the fridge for my sandwich later. And then you start thinking, well, if there's Miracle Whip, I wonder if there's Ready Whip to put on my ice cream after that. And you're just gone. Your prayers are just like out the window. Again, I think most people, they believe in prayer and they want to pray more, but for whatever reason, it becomes a struggle. And especially in what I want to talk about today, because I believe that if you've been alive for more than 20 minutes, you've probably come into a situation where not only you believe in prayer and want to pray, but you're confronted with a real opportunity for prayer, for praying for somebody else. Maybe you've been with someone over a cup of coffee. Remember when we used to do that? Remember when back in the good old days, we would actually sit in a coffee shop and have a cup of coffee for hours at end, just talking and listening to one another, right? Remember those days? Can't do that right now. But you probably sat with someone and you've heard someone describe a moment, a challenge, a significant problem in their life. Or maybe it's at work, it's around the water cooler, and someone shares with you, you know what, I just found out that my job was eliminated. This week is my last week. Or another person who shared, I can't believe this, I got the diagnosis and it's cancer. Or someone shares with you, you know, I've had a struggle in my marriage has been tough, but I didn't think it would end like this. And immediately in that moment, especially if you're a Christian, you start to think, I need to do something. I need to pray for this person. It's something kind of in your conscious thoughts of, I need to pray for this person. But the moment you think that, another thought enters into your head. And that thought dominates. And that's the thought of, oh no, what am I going to pray? I mean, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Life is so challenging in so many ways. And you've got to feel this overwhelming sense of, what on earth am I going to say? I don't have the answers to this person's significant problems. I got problems in my own life I don't have answers to. And I believe what happens is something I call the paralysis of prayer. You believe in prayer, you know you should pray, you have an opportunity, and then you just become paralyzed. Just stuck in the moment of, I don't know what to do, and you stop short of lifting up that prayer. And I want to show you something in Scripture where I believe begins to unlock for us how we should pray for the people around us. How do you pray for someone? These words are so amazing, found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says this. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's apparent that we live today in a society where people are carrying a lot of burdens all on their own. In fact, even before COVID-19, researchers were finding that we're living in a day and an age that for the first time in over 100 years, people were dying younger. Isn't that a cheery thought? You know, 100 years ago, the reason was because of the Spanish flu. And over the last 100 years, we've seen incredible advancements in cardiovascular health. Lung disease has gone down. But what researchers have found recently is that there's been an increase in death due to what mental health professionals call deaths of despair. That people are dying younger because of an opioid crisis and addiction, falling into alcohol abuse and suicide. Basically, what the increase in deaths is because of is because of a lack of hope. Despair just squeezing the life out of an individual. And not only nationwide, but then especially in our own state, you might have seen this, that Michigan is leading the way as a state in the number of tweets with the hashtag, either hashtag depressed or hashtag anxious. We live in an anxious, depressed society. For some people, they've told me it's primal right now. Like, Pastor, I'm just trying to stay married and not eat my young, right? And it's difficult. Like we joke because we don't have a lot of ways in which we would normally cope. I mean, stress is through the roof. You're not able to go to the gym and work out like you normally would. You're not able to go out to eat. Your restaurants are closed. And what is food? Food is in so many ways. It's social. It's comfort. You can't go and be with your friends. You're stuck Zooming them and being in front of a screen in 2D for far too many hours in the day. So how do I pray for someone? I think the problem is actually the solution. That there's an endless opportunity to lean into an opportunity to not allow someone to hold on to those burdens and concerns all of their own, but to actually come alongside of them in a Christ-like way. So how do I do this? I want to put this down on the bottom shelf. I want to make this really practical. I want to put the hay down low for every single one of us because I want us to feel like we can do this as Christians, that we can actually have confidence to pray for someone else and carry their burdens with them. So a couple of ideas. First thing I would say is if you want to know how to pray for someone, it starts with an interior check. That you have to, number one, you have to be ready and willing to pray for someone. What do I mean by that? Let me start with the willing aspect of this. I don't know if you've realized, but your will is a powerful part of who you are. It's part of just your makeup and your personality. And I don't know about you, but I've realized that I can will myself to do an awful lot. If I want to do something, there's sort of like no stopping, right? Like you just go for it and you just do it. But your will is so powerful that you might have observed this too, that if you don't want to do something, you can kind of let your will take charge and not do it. Like, strong-willed is a real thing. And I've noticed in my own life that part of my willingness at times has to do with whether I'm needed or not. Not just as a pastor, but just in general. Like, if I'm needed, if I'm appreciated, if I'm affirmed, then I will have more willingness to embrace whatever it is I have to do. I'll give you an example of this. I took on a project around the house. Now, I don't want to brag. I don't want to brag, but I'm very handy around the house, right? Like, I'm extremely good with tools and fixing things. Some of you are, you're just laughing because you know me and you know he is not a handy guy. But I try. And so we had to have some repair done on our water softener. And I said to my wife, I said, I can fix that water softener. I mean, what is it? It's like a clock and a couple of gears and a flow valve. I can fix it. I got an engineering degree. And so I start fixing it. And let's just say it didn't take me 12 hours before I had flooded my basement. True story, not lying, true story. And so I still said, well, I can fix this, no big deal. It's just a little bit of water in the basement. Get out the shop vac, clean it up. I got this all under control. And yet the water softener was still not fixed. So I'm like, no worry, I still got this. I will call the water softener repair guy and I will be a part of leading this project forward because I can do this. And sure enough, the technician got it fixed. But I called the technician and I put the salt in the water softener and I got the thing running. And I felt so good about getting this thing fixed despite the little bit of water that was in the basement. Not a big deal at all. And I was kind of proud, and I was looking for a little affirmation of my sweet wife, Sean. I have known her for over 30 years. We've been married for 25 years. She is the love of my life, my high school sweetheart. I love you, babe. And I was telling her, kind of looking for a little pat on the head. Good job. Well done. And she says to me, she says, well, now you can go ahead and fix that drippy faucet. And I just felt like, just all the will came out of me. And what had happened is I wasn't getting what I wanted. I wasn't being affirmed like I needed to be affirmed for flooding the basement, right? Like some of you are like, seriously, Pastor, get over yourself. And I think that's part of our problem with prayer. We become less willing because we start to see prayer as something that we need to be affirmed in. I need to be good at this. I need to have the right words. I need to have people appreciate me when I pray for them. It needs to be eloquent, so I know I did a good job. And prayer becomes kind of this desire for us to only be willing if we think we're good at it or if someone encourages us in it. And when we're not, we just become more paralyzed, less willing to do it. And I want to tell you, the will, the drive is you got to carry someone else's burden. So it starts with just this interior check of saying, am I willing? And then it goes the step further in saying, not only am I willing, but am I ready? The Bible talks about being prepared. Great verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What are you hopeful for right now? I know, right in the middle of COVID-19, what are you hopeful for? Maybe it helps to go back to the beginning of the year because so many people, they started off this year with resolutions, with goals. In fact, you might have said this. You might have said, 2020, this is my year. This is my decade. You might have even said something kind of corny now, right? You might have said, 2020, I'm going to have 2020 vision for my life. And then this pandemic hits. And I got to ask you, what are you still hopeful for? I mean, that verse says we're always to be prepared, but prepared for what? Prepared to have just the right words, to have author just the right prayers? No, he says, be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that you have. What are you hopeful for? What's your why? Why are you hopeful? Some of you just saying that you're like, just kind of a blank mind for a moment. I can't think of what I'm hopeful for because there's so many things that I've lost hope in. So many things in my life have been canceled or put on hold or postponed. And you're struggling to see the why. I was thinking this week about, I have so many plans coming up in the life of this church. I have desires for this next decade to be a decade of multiplication in our church. And I believe God's kind of given me some insight and ideas as to how as a community we're going to do that together. I have some goals for myself and kind of my second half of life. And I was thinking this week about how they've shifted from maybe where they were in December and how things have gotten, honestly, more challenging, more difficult for me as your pastor. But then it hit me about how this shouldn't surprise us. In fact, when you read through the Bible, I got to ask you, who do you read about in the Bible? What character? Who's your favorite character in the Bible? And any of them, did any of them get an easy assignment in life? You know, did any of them in the Bible kind of get the blueprint? This is how it's going to go. And don't worry, it's easy street for you. In fact, nobody in the Bible got an easy road. In fact, this guy who says, always be prepared, is the Apostle Peter. And Peter did not have an easy life. In fact, Peter was crucified for his faith. In fact, he said that he did not have the same honor to be crucified upright. So he asked to be crucified upside down in reverence to his Savior Jesus, to the one who gives him all hope. No one in the Bible got an easy assignment. Noah is told to build an ark in the middle of the desert. Jonah is told to go preach to a bunch of partying Ninevites. Nehemiah says, God says, leave your easy cush job and go rebuild the wall. Mary, how about your assignment? You're going to be the mother of Jesus. You get to raise the Son of God. Try not to mess that up, Mary. No one who follows Jesus gets an easy assignment. But yet, we're all called to be prepared, to be willing and to be ready to share the hope that we have with someone else and carry their burdens. How do you do that? How do you be ready and willing and pray for someone? I would say the next step is to be in the Bible. I think the biggest part of being prepared is just to be in the Word, to simply be in God's Word. I mean, if you need hope, the Bible is a story, a narrative filled with hope. It's an entire story from beginning to end of hope. Not to people who are perfect, not to people who have it all figured out, but to people like you and people like me, people who are messed up and broken and sinful and scared. They got it wrong far more often than they got it right. People like you, people like me. And if you read the story from front to back, I hope that you read it not as someone else's story. But it will really begin to give you hope when you find yourself in the grand narrative of Scripture. In fact, the Scriptures are our prayers. In fact, there's an entire part of the Bible dedicated to prayer, and that is the Psalms. The Psalms are 150 prayers of God's people praying back to God. You can take those prayers and you can make them your own. You can pray the Psalms as your prayers. You can pray the Psalms as prayers over others. I want to show you, though, one verse in Scripture. It's not a psalm, but I want to show you a prayer given to us by the Apostle Paul. And if you're struggling with, how do I pray for someone? I mean, I'm willing. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. But I don't have the words, the right words to pray for someone. What do? I want to show you one place in Scripture. This would probably be a place that you should underline in your Bible. Because these are some of the most beautiful words that you could ever pray over someone in need. Let me give you a little context. Because this prayer was authored by Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul, and he's writing back to his church in Ephesus. This is a church under severe persecution. Christians are being literally killed for their faith. In fact, the Caesar at the time has Paul in prison because he's been sharing his faith. He's kind of in lockdown. He's in house arrest. He's in quarantine of his own. And the people back in the church are scared for their life because what Nero is doing is Nero is taking anyone who claims Christ as their savior and he's impaling them on a stake, dipping them in tar, lighting them on fire as torches for his backyard barbecues. That's how severe it was and how dangerous it was to be a follower of Christ. And Paul gives them, he can't be with them. He wishes he could pray, holding their hands, being right with them, but he can't. So he writes these words as a prayer to them. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What if when someone comes to you anxious, depressed, about to throw in the towel. They're just struggling and at the end of their rope. And what if you just said to them, you know, I don't have the answers. I don't even know what words I could say to you right now, but can I pray for you? And can I pray for you a prayer that for hundreds, for thousands of years now, has been a source of comfort to people in need? Can I just pray these words over you? And you just read Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 19, as your prayer for them, from your heart, with a willingness and now a readiness to come alongside of them. I mean, yeah, I could dissect this prayer. I mean, scholars have broken this prayer off into sections and have analyzed this. And I think that really loses the heart of what prayer is. Prayer is to be the word of God living and breathing into the life of a person who needs hope. And rather than dissect this prayer, what if we just let this prayer live out and just ring out into the life of someone hurting? I mean, you think of these words in this prayer. I mean, just practically speaking, who doesn't need to be reminded in a world that screams scarcity, that you're not enough and you don't have enough and you'll not ever be enough, to be reminded that what's available to you is a God who is full of glorious riches. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And that God can be your God, can be your guide through whatever your struggle is. Not only that, but this same God wants to give you strength, wants to give you power, and not just physical strength, but strength at a soul level. Think of like your core strength. Like the most powerful part of you could be your soul. You could be strengthened in your soul by the Holy Spirit. And you just pray that prayer that God would strengthen someone at the inner being of their soul through the Holy Spirit. And then finally, he says it over and over that you could be rooted and established in love. And that brings us back to what prayer really does. It fulfills this law of Christ, which is to love one another. Can we be the church that loves one another, that loves one another extravagantly, because we simply decide to be ready and willing to carry the burdens of people around us, to carry the concerns of the people who come in contact with us, people we know, people we don't even know that well, but we say, God, we're ready, we're willing, and we believe that your power and your strength and your glorious riches can be poured out into this situation. May that be the church. I want to pray for you now. If you would simply just close your eyes and pray with me. God, I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that you would be clear and evident in all the ways in which you not only call us, but you equip us for prayer. You equip us to talk and listen, to listen well in the depth of our spirit for the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, to ring out. I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice that is finding themselves just in a time of struggle, in a time of uncertainty, with great concerns, maybe even with despair, God. God, I pray that what they would hear in this prayer is that you are gloriously rich and more than able, that you can do immeasurably more in the lives of those who simply submit and come before you, God. I pray that many would do that and would lay those burdens down, and we as the church would be the people that pick those burdens up and carry those concerns into the throne room, into the grace of God, with confidence of knowing that you hear and that you care. God, we're so grateful for this time. We're so grateful for this opportunity. Be in our hearts and be in our actions of prayer. It's in your name we pray. Amen.